you know, since I'm superior to Sai, my favorite anime are Eva and Fooly Cooly.
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Suck my fucking dick and blow me, you fucking piece of shit.
Segway, ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to the Weeb Crew. I'm your host, Psyotic, and I'm announcing this like it's a boxing match for some reason. In this corner, we have Mumi.
Number one VTuber hater, OG.
And in the other corner, we have Hayden the Historian.
I don't think that picture.
Hayden, say something for the love of Christ.
No, I just fucking screamed into my microphone. I don't think it picked up on Discord.
Did you? I did not even. None of that came out. None of that came through over Discord. I guess we'll hear it. I guess we'll hear that in post, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, all we heard was a big deep breath in and then. Silence. Like, yeah. Okay.
All right. Yeah. I guess we're kind of talking a little bit about VTubers today. Well,
are we talking about VTubers? Why are we talking about V? I fucking hate VTubers.
I thought we were talking about bodybuilders.
No, goddamn. What we're talking about there's a phenomenon that has transpired in recent years where there's been a shift. In the anime fandom, in the culture, okay, where, you know, right. Back 2019, 2020, if you were an anime fan and you watched VTubers, in a lot of circles, that would just get you made fun of as like a fucking filthy casual shit taste, didn't watch anime, literally clinging on to anime
elitist circles, it would.
Yeah.
I feel like VTubers were kind of like looked down on, but like it wasn't like a big, like people didn't really discriminate against them necessarily. Mm-hmm. At least like an outside general anime circles, it was kind of like, sure, oh yeah. You like VTubers, okay.
You like those kind of uncanny looking spazzy models, which is what they look like in like 2020. Yeah
as someone that hung around like A circles, it was very much like, of course, the casuals will do anything to not watch anime.
Yeah. It's all this anime.
I'm just gonna start watching my e-girl with an anime avatar play video games.
Oh no,
so
no,
just
no, it wasn't
watch
even,
it wasn't anime. Gotcha.
It wasn't even no back then. It wasn't even like, oh, I'm gonna watch an e-girl with an anime. It was, I'm gonna watch a disgusting, sweaty old man with a voice changer and an avatar play video games and masturbate to that.
Sometimes.
Yeah, was like the general. I mean, that was a pretty common stigma back in the day, and it feels like, I mean, that stigma is obviously very antiquated. I mean, there's been a paradigm shift, is what I'm trying to say, where it feels like that sort of stigma towards things like VTubers has become less of a thing among more dedicated anime fans, but more of a thing among like more casual anime fans. We somehow switched positions. It feels
very much in general like a lot of the stuff that we thought were like casual, associated with casual anime fans like 15 years ago, 10 years ago,
has basically up until kind of shifted.
Yeah, like the Overton window shifted, I guess.
Yeah,
and I don't know if it's because like a lot of the kids and the people that were casual back then, like over the last 10 years that have stuck around, have now just kind of normalized that in the space, and a lot of the people that were outside of that and were in more of the no circles 10 years ago have kind of moved on for the most
part. They just kind of stopped watching anime because, like, I mean, a lot of those guys, you got to remember, were also just kind of like, man, anime sucks now. All the anime that's coming out is trash. And that's not exactly a good mindset to have if you want to be an anime fan for a protracted period of time.
Yeah, I mean, that happens with everyone, though.
Yeah,
it happened to me. I'm not saying it happens to literally everyone. It happens to a lot of people. But what I'm saying is, it happens like all the time, like in the space. Like if you're in the anime space, you keep hearing about it. Like, oh, anime now is fucking shit. it's all the same, it's all fucking insert genre that's currently popular, or sometimes not even that popular, but like was popular 10 years ago, and I don't keep up with anime, so I think it's still popular. Man, yeah. Anime now is, there's too much fan service.
Too much fan service, too much isekai.
How can you say that? How can you say nowadays is too much fan service with like a straight face? I don't get what the fuck. What world are you living in right now?
They're living in a world of like, you go on Netflix and you watch Fire Force and you don't realize that Fire Force came out in, what, 2018? And you think that's like a new show because it's still ongoing.
Listen, we live in bifurcated realities, all right? This is not new.
Yeah.
I have thought about this, yes. And it's like we very much live in a time where everyone's had their own perspective. I think we've lived in a period where it's like, it's kind of like the 90s on steroids, where like the 90s had a very
going back to bodybuilding undercurrent.
The bodybuilding 90s. The 90s had a very strong undercurrent of like shattering of reality. Which you kind of saw in like anime kind of start cropping up with like Denpa and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like that was happening in the West too. So like that's where like the grunge movement kind of came from. And then you had like, you know, people shitting on Bill Clinton because it's like, oh, everyone lies. And like you just had this sort of general mistrust of authority or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think like we're experiencing that on steroids now because of the internet. Or like, everybody questions everything that they see now, and like no one has like a shared reality, and so like you kind of just gravitate toward the people that sort of reflect or I guess echo what your kind of reality seems to be,
reinforce, validate.
So like you kind of just live in an echo chamber, and you kind of gravitate toward those echo chambers because that's just what reality is now for you. I actually was talking about this earlier with my dad because he started talking about like fucking Mandela effect shit or whatever. And he was like, yeah, you know, this Mandela effect stuff, like sometimes it's just stuff that you just know is just stuff that happened and was real. And like, tell me all this stuff. I'm just like, I mean, people just want to lie to you on the internet. I don't.
That's kind of like, the thing. Yeah.
But there is this like an actual thing where people just want to reinforce this shit that they just know is true, whether it is true or not. And it's like, I don't know. Like you just see people like throw around statistics that they heard somewhere. Like I saw some fucking random video someone posted where someone was like responding to Asmongold, who was talking about like the average IQ in Nigeria or like all of Southern Africa or something was like 60. And the person was like going over why that was like kind of misleading or like,
yeah,
what specifically was going on with that number. And like, people just don't want to know like nuance or like the specifics behind shit. They just see something.
No. They've learned,
incorporate
they've learned
that into the reality.
Yeah.
And then they just, they've that's just, the fact that that's just like reality.
Commensurate.
Now.
That is commensurate to their worldview, and they will hear nothing to the contrary or look into it in any capacity. They've heard it. It validates what they already think. It gets registered. And we see that, I mean, you know, going beyond race realism, we see that with like anime and stuff. I feel like we've talked about that in the past where you see this particularly with the kinds of narratives that crop up around anime, the kinds of things people tell themselves about the way the anime industry works or the motivations and ideas behind certain kinds, certain anime that just kind of propagate in perpetuity, regardless of like whether or not, like the classic example would be Miyazaki saying anime was a mistake or whatever.
Right.
Any number of fake Miyazaki quotes, you know, misattributed to him, that people will just kind of take and just repeat anyway because it's something that that means he agrees with me or something like that. Like this authority figure is saying something that I've been saying, so it gives like, you know, a degree of legitimacy to it. It doesn't actually matter whether or not it's a real quote.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's like a thing that's been going on for ages. Like, you saw with that Kari Kano, where it's like, everyone just knows Kari Kano got canceled because the mangaka hated it or whatever. And even in like kind of more benign things, like with Gainax, like everyone kind of just looks at Gainax as like the studio that was made by Otaku for Otaku, and like as if they're unique in that way. And then you kind of see this like mythologizing of like Hideaki Anno and like the people of Gainax, where fucking people still to this day are like spreading the shit of Hideaki Anno hates Otaku and is critical of Otaku. And it's like, first off, like Gainax was started by people that didn't even like anime. Like they kind of, they liked science fiction, and they saw anime as a way for them to like get those ideas out there. Not all of them, obviously. Like, obviously, there are people that like anime among them, but not all of them were just fucking anime fans or something. Like, this, the mythologizing that we've done, where it's like collapsing all the people of Gainax into being these fucking anime fans, where it's in reality, there's more nuance to that than that. Like, Anno doesn't seem like he wanted to even be an animator. Like, it seems like he kind of just fell into animation as a consequence of being a good animator and liking sci-fi. But like he wanted to go Daikon 3. He didn't really want to spend time on Daikon 3 because he was making a fucking Ultraman film.
And you see that too with like people kind of don't treat like even Japan itself as a real place. They kind of treat it as a like a place for them to just project their own views and values onto, and you know, just make up complete bullshit. I mean, that's kind of like the thing that we've seen ever since the new prime minister took power, is that, especially on Twitter, people will just lie. People will just lie, like complete bold-faced lies about stuff that is like happening in Japan with like immigration and things like that. And be like, Takeuchi is, you know, deporting all foreigners. And it's like, that's not even remotely true. I don't even know where.
But Japan is the conservative country, and like I heard that they were deporting people. I want people deported out of my country. Japan, they represent my values, and they make all the good media. Japan is the greatest country in the world.
It is really annoying, like this whole fucking discussion in general, where it's just like Japan is a real place with real people.
It was like, what is it? Like a population of like 120 some million people?
Yeah, there are people there who are more racist than you and like hate fucking white people and all people that aren't Japanese and want you to stop fucking consuming anime because they think it's for Japanese people. They don't need to watch it.
Oh, God. Oh, man. When we've seen that recently with like the piracy stuff, you know, they're reacting very negatively to like, oh, these fucking gaijin overseas are just pirating all this anime. They don't want to pay for anything. Fuck those guys.
Oh, so you think I'm just entitled to Disney stuff? Yeah, go for it.
Go for it. Go ahead. It's always more. I probably
likewise. Likewise, there are people there that are more fucking commie than you or anyone else. Like, they're just people. Like,
yeah, it's
that's how things work.
You're telling me politics exists on a spectrum, and that people are a rich tapestry of diverse viewpoints and ideas and experiences.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's just ridiculous because people like getting it, it's like, well, Japan's this conservative country. It's like, yeah, it is. Like, it is generally kind of more conservative than the U.S. There are some laws and stuff that they have that are more liberal, but like, I don't mind saying overall, like, you could look at it as more conservative than the U.S. Likewise, the industry has a lot of people that are fucking very liberal, like a lot of industries. I mean, people complain about Hollywood. Yeah. I would imagine it's not super far off with Japan in anime. Like, I'm sure the people that are just more artistically inclined generally just end up being more liberal because they're going to a fucking art school, by at the very least. Yeah. Like, that's just kind of like how things are.
There's also just like probably a lot like, and we know there's just a lot of like conservatives working like in the anime industry as well, because again, these are real people. There's a lot of them. It's only natural. You got
fucking Mel Gibson in Hollywood. Like, there are always going to be people everywhere. Like, that's just how it is. Like, this idea that we're collapsing an entire country to a singular viewpoint to be like, ah, the Japanese agree with me. It's just like, this is, they're real people. Like, what are we doing? Why are we fetishizing this country because of the media they produce? Like,
but I saw an interesting thing the other day where one of the directors for I believe it was episode 5 of JJK, Masao Miyando, who's also directed like Hanako-kun, Kanano no Astra, what is this? Not School Life. What's like the Gakko Garashi, Hakumei to Mikochi. Pretty really good director, honestly. Like, pretty underrated. Oh yeah, White Album 2. Pretty underrated director, all things considered. And I guess he directed episode 5 of Jujutsu Kaisen season 3. Mm. And he tweeted something out about like, part of the instructions for his direction, for him directing the episode, part of the instructions that he gave the animators are like to avoid like panty shots or anything like that. And people got really up in arms over that. And it's like, why? One, are there any panty shot? Like people, he's censoring the manga. And it's like, were there any panty shots in there in the first place? Because he's not talking about that. He's talking about like animators kind of going off script, well, going off storyboard and just kind of doing their own thing, you know, putting a shot. There's a really funny example of that in the first episode of Planetees. Anyone who's seen Planetees, watch that first episode. That shot it's basically just a close up, like a low shot, and it's like I shaking her ass in front of the camera. That was not in Taniguchi's original storyboards. If you listen to the commentary, he talks about this. The animator who did that cut just added it in, and then he did that. That same animator did that again in a later episode. Had a character's like ass just like be a prominent focus of a shot that wasn't in the storyboards, and Taniguchi was just kind of like, I asked him about it because I was just kind of like, I was like, are you an ass man or something? And the animator was like, huh, I never noticed that. Maybe I am an ass man. Oh, I never really thought of it. You know, now that you put it into words, it makes a lot of sense.
It all makes sense now. You know, now that you mention it.
Yeah. So Masao Miyando, he like tweeted something out about this on Twitter, and he caught a lot of flack from like chibi reviews and those kinds of people because they just don't understand. I guess it was very weird where it's like, what are we doing? We're like, we support creators having creative liberty, right? Shouldn't that also extend to like not wanting panty shots for whatever reason? Like,
do people do that on Twitter?
Yeah.
Or just general? I feel like most people, like, they just want the anime to be the manga, like one for one.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, they virtue signal that they want creative liberties or whatever.
Do they? I've never really heard about that.
I mean, a lot of people will do this. Well, they'll be like, censorship is, you know, they will support creators being allowed to do whatever they want until the creator does something that they don't like, at which point it then becomes a problem.
I think censorship is like a different thing in that case, because like when I think creative liberties, I don't think of like being censored necessarily. It's just like doing a different interpretation.
No, censorship is nope. Censorship is when you do something that is not in the manga.
True. Or you like remove a single panel or something.
Yeah,
remove a single panel. You mean remove something that's in the manga?
No, just do anything that's different. Yeah. Anything that's different. Wait, why is that censorship? Because it's not, because you're supposed to adapt the manga and you're not adapting the manga, so you're censoring the manga.
Okay, I haven't seen people say that that's censored. Like, they complain about filler, but I don't think anyone's classified filler as censorship.
Probably.
I mean, I see what you're getting at. I see what you're making, but I'm just saying, to be fair, I've not seen anyone classify that in case anyone's going to like take you literally.
Take me literally on it? Well, no, because like, I mean, it's very arbitrary what anime get flack for this. Like, we talked about Shiba Yuga. I don't think anyone's really Anyway, I've seen much, you know, heat over go for Shiba Yugi for like removing its fan. We've talked about it, and we've talked about it from like a creative standpoint and whether or not we think those decisions work creatively. But then it's even like the people will get up in arms when like Kyoto Animation removes panning shots from stuff. And it's like, they've done this for years. What are we doing? Why is this only now an issue? And yeah. It's because it's a weird culture. And it's, again, it's just a matter of...
Which is, like, fascinating to witness, like, in real time. Because, like, there was the Bocchi thing from, like, a year ago whatever. And I was like, I thought everyone loved the Bocchi anime, right?
No, it's terrible now.
Am I crazy?
It was only saved by the animation or whatever. Saved by the direction. The writer is actually trash.
The same thing happened with like JJK, where like no one, I've never heard anybody complain that there wasn't panty shots in this season. And then that fucking director quote came out where they were saying that they requested people not put panty shots, whatever. Now it's like this big deal. It's like censorship.
It's like, were there panty shots in the manga even?
Yeah. I mean, same thing happened like the Bocchi thing. I remember we talked about it where it's like no one complained about that with the anime until someone came out and was like, yeah, we did this for this reason. And they're like, this fucking bitch fucking censored the anime or what. And it's like, you weren't complaining about this a year or two ago when it fucking aired. What?
Well, again, any kind of deviation from the manga is invariably going to cause controversy. You see that with JJK, even outside of this, like, wasn't it episode 5 that had that really long, like, take of just those two characters talking, like something out of Gosenzel-sama?
Yeah, that was the one where he walks in the room and they're sitting there on like the mid shot, looking at them in a room from like the side angle.
And I saw people upset at that because they're just like, oh, the manga did this so much better. What is this? What is this pretentious artsy fartsy shit? No, man, they are disrespecting the vision of the creative masterwork that is Jujutsu Kaisen. And it's like, what are we doing? What are we doing? It's people. And this is something that I've literally talked to people on Twitter about. And they have basically told me like manga is essentially like an inferior, incomplete artistic medium. And anime exists to fully actualize the art of the manga, because, you know, then you get animation and color and voice acting and all this stuff. So usually the manga itself, you know, it can be good, but it's lacking all these important things. OK, the anime is what really makes it. And it's like, is that not the most disrespectful fucking attitude to have when it comes to manga?
Yeah, I mean, I've not heard anyone specifically say that explicitly, but it does come off that way, from the way that people talk in general. Yeah, I know you're saying you've seen people say that, but I'm just saying
in my experience, I have not heard people say that.
Yeah, yeah. No, but even in my interactions, people haven't said that specifically. It comes off that way. Because they're always like, it needs to adapt the manga 1-to-1, whatever the fuck that means. Like,
who knows what that means in actuality.
1-to-1, and then basically just use the manga storyboard and then add sound, color, and voice acting.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's not really what anime is supposed to be.
No.
I mean, anime is its own medium. I mean, if they want to adapt it that way, I think that's fine. If they want to adapt it another way, I think that's also fine. Yeah. Like, I'm fine with Brotherhood existing as much as I am O3 existing. I'm fine with Trigun 1997 existing as much as I am Trigun Stampede and Stargaze existing. Like,
Planetese, my favorite anime ever, deviates pretty heavily from the manga. The Tatami Galaxy, another one of my favorite anime of all time. Also deviates, adds in a lot of stuff from the source material.
See, a lot of my favorites are anime originals, so I'm fucking better than you.
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. condescending piece of shit.
But it is interesting because this is something that does come up a lot here recently with like Ava, because of the announcement of like the new Evangelion project.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
People talking about the fucking Asuka short and all that. People have like a very weird, stringent idea of what media is supposed to be or is or whatever. mm-hmm. where they just cannot reconcile there being two different versions or like alternate takes or like, I don't, it's just a very weird place to be. Cause I'm like, anime is a mixed media, like a media mix. Yeah. Right. So it's just like, I'm so used to like, there just being random shit. Like, yeah, there's a
yeah.
beach episode OVA of this fucking show.
I feel like one of the most cringe fucking things is like when people act like a new entry point in a franchise, like somehow like tarnishes its legacy or something, like it ruins everything. Like if this new Evangelion's not as good as the old one, which it's not going to be, like it's going to fucking ruin Evangelion. I'm like, oh my God, you guys are such fucking children.
Yeah.
Like politically progressive existing.
It's definitely has not been like plundered and quote unquote ruined over the past 30 years. Clear, like, do these people not, do these people just think that Evangelion was just like, oh, the original TV show, the rebuilds, and maybe the manga? Do they not know? Have anime fans these days forgotten about the Gendo shave impact ad and shit like that?
I was going to say, like, Fully Cooly Progressive existing is not going to affect your enjoyment of Fully Cooly. Like, no, that kind of example. Like
a miserable
person. Yeah, I mean, I talked about
you this. You can dislike it all guy. You want, but, like, come on.
Yeah.
I talked about this with Best Guy Ever on Twitter, like, when we had that exchange where.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, I understand, like, you know, since I'm superior to Psy, my favorite anime are Ava and Fully Cooly.
Fuck you. Suck my fucking dick and blow me, you fucking piece of shit.
No, but like, yeah, I understand. Like, I fucking hated like progressive when I watched it.
Yeah, yeah.
Alternative seems like whatever. I didn't feel like watching the rest of it, so I never actually watched any of the other Fully Cooly sequels after that. But like, their existence doesn't bother me. Like, I just keep watching the original, just like the original's existence wasn't hindered or tainted by the manga's existence, even though the manga is drastically different from the anime.
Yeah.
The backstory of Haruko being like a weird vigilante pirate that's being chased by her organization, but that's also run by other Harukos, doesn't somehow retroactively ruin the anime. Like, it's just another yeah. thing. Like, if people fucking, which there were people that really liked progressive for whatever or alternative or whatever, for whatever reason. I remember fucking, who was it? Was it Pedantic Romantic or Zillia? Who was it that made the progressive video?
Zarya? I think Zarya.
Yeah. I mean, she really liked progressive.
Yeah.
They made the whole video about how much they liked progressive, and that's fine. Like,
yeah,
people
yeah.
have different perspectives and there are different entry points. Like, this has been a kind of a solved thing since, I don't know, at least Gundam, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, but even if it's not like, you know, Fully Cooly Progressive and like all of, you know, Gundam or whatever, like they're their own thing. Even if it's like a direct continuation or like a prequel or something, like I fucking hated Steins Gate Zero when that was coming out. But like, I still like Steins Gate, the first yeah. one. I can just pretend like yeah. the like Zero like doesn't exist, or I watch it and I go, that's stupid. I'm not gonna interpret like this canon as being like the canon for me. The canon for me is me watching Steins Gate and enjoying that show for what
for me,
is
like,
on its own terms.
Ava, or, sorry, not Ava. For me, Madoka, like its ending was like perfect for me. Like I didn't need anything else. It's like these 12 episodes are open and closed, closed loop, ship it, it's done. Like, nothing, you don't have to add anything. There's nothing that you're going to do to like enhance or whatever. Yeah. So I didn't want, like, I don't want Rebellion. I didn't need Rebellion, but like, I liked Rebellion. Like, I didn't ever, I mean, I'm not going to like it as nearly as much as the TV series. Because the TV series is kind of like this own perfect thing for me, and it's just kind of, I've shoved it away on the shelf and it's kind of like untouched by anything that comes afterwards. But I can still enjoy Rebellion, and people can like Rebellion or kind of incorporate that into the canon of Madoka in a way that I don't, where they can get invested in it and are looking forward to the new movie coming out. I don't know if there's not a problem with that for me. Like, I don't know. I guess like I just view media in a different way where I can separate stuff like that way. Because, like, I remember we've had this discussion with, like, Fullmetal Alchemist. Yeah. I think at one point we were talking about O3 and Conqueror Shambhala. Because, like, I don't ever... Yeah. I liked Conqueror Shambhala okay. Like, it's fine. Like, it's a competent movie. It looks good. It's kind of silly. I didn't need it. I was perfectly content with the original ending. I kind of just view it as a consequence of people just really wanting a closure and catharsis for the ending or whatever.
Yeah.
People like it. I kind of just view O3 on its own. And, like, I know Conqueror Shambhala exists, but, like, I don't really consider that into the canon of my enjoyment of O3.
I wonder if it's, like, an issue of completionism. It's like you have to complete everything within a franchise that you enjoy, and everything within that, like, contributes to the overall, like, full narrative
or something. Maybe partially. I consume all this stuff too. So it's like I do have the completionist thing, but it's just never, I've never incorporated too, but in a way.
Instead of, like, you can separate certain things, it's, you know, it's all, like, the whole, it's a part of the same, like, cabal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of more of an issue of separation. Like, you're not able to kind of view Conqueror Shambhala as separate from O3. Like, Conqueror Shambhala came out, it is a direct sequel to O3, and so you have to view Conqueror Shambhala in extension with O3. And I don't really know why. I don't know if that's a matter of, like, how you engage with the media or, like, how you view media. I feel like part of that could just be because, like, things like Evangelion for me, like, I didn't watch End of Eva for, like, 7 years, 6 years, something like that, after watching the original. It's like 3 or 4. Like, I watched it in, like, 2007 while I was in high school.
You ruined it.
But, like, I what was I saying? Oh, I didn't know the End of Eva existed. So, like, I had the first 26 episodes and, like, that was it. And I was content with it. I loved the ending or whatever. I loved the TV series. And then when I heard the End of Eva existed, like, I retroactively was able, like, I loved End of Eva because it was kind of more Eva for me. And so I was able to incorporate that into the canon that as I wanted it to or whatever. But, like, I didn't need it. And, like, there was kind of is that separation. Like, I didn't view it as, like, oh, I have to watch End of Eva. End of Eva now is, like, grafted on to the TV series. Like, they're always the separate things, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's part of why I can separate it that way. I don't know if it's just the way that I kind
it's
of
funny you say that, because I feel like Evangelion's one of the biggest examples of, like, being divisive over a certain part of a show. Like, so many people hate the ending of the TV show and, like, swear it off and, like, oh, you have to fucking watch End of Evangelion.
Don't even watch the last two episodes. Just watch End of Eva. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is very silly, because, like,
if anyone's ever told you that, I want you to fucking stab them in the neck with a ballpoint pen.
Non-fatally stab them in the neck.
In Minecraft.
In Minecraft. Yeah, you craft a ballpoint pen in Minecraft and then
craft the ballpoint pen.
For me it kind of depends, because
I was gonna say I actually had something similar with Mahoromatic, where, like, I really loved season 1 of Mahoromatic, and I was anticipating going into the second season after rewatching season 1, and overall I did enjoy it. I have a lot of issues with it, but I feel like season 1 on its own is a very good package. But it's the same kind of thing where, like, as a complete package with the both of the seasons, I think it's good and it works. But I can also just see season 1, like, on its own merits, and that's kind of how I choose to view the series in general. So it's kind of like what I said about Evangelion. Where, like, you know, you can you can kind of choose how you want to interpret that series.
Well, it's interesting because, like, I guess Full Fruits Basket kind of incorporates the issues I saw with Full Metal Alchemist in a way that kind of makes it more apparent. Because the problem with Full Metal Alchemist is both of them are good. like people will argue with me or whatever. They're gonna be like, oh, three's bad, Brotherhood's good or whatever.
Sure.
But like at the end of the day, both of them are good.
Yes.
Like O3, I would say, has better direction overall. Mm-hmm. But that's just me, whatever. Like,
yeah.
There are kind of pros and cons to it. With Fruits Basket, I feel like it's kind of clear that like the O3 version has better direction than the 2019 adaptation.
It came out in 2001.
Whatever. 2003, 2001, same fucking difference. The original, whatever the fucking the original Fruits Basket adaptation.
9/11 like, happened around that time or something. Who fucking knows?
Yeah, listen, I had brain fog. I actually lived through fucking 9/11. Okay, like,
man, you look, Grandpa, you was in 9/11 and COVID.
Wow.
Well, you remembered the other. But you know, it kind of makes it more apparent. Because the original does have better direction, but like,
mm-hmm.
This is going back to the whole people viewing the manga as incomplete and wanting adaptations to be kind of the complete version of it. People yeah. like the 2019 version more because it adapts more of the story, and it kind of just feels like an extension of what people were talking about with Brotherhood, where it's like, oh, this is the better version because it has more of the manga in it.
That's like, well, literally the reason, because when I was working with the anime men, Ethan, I believe, was the one who ended up going with Fruits Basket after we like discussed what shows they would all be watching. And I was like pushing for him to watch the original show because it's shorter. And I think that like everything it does, it just gives you everything that you need. It's not the full, like, original story or whatever, but that's not the point of it. But he literally told me that, like, him or Johnny or whoever, that, like, they wanted to watch the remake because it was the full, like, manga story. And I was talking with Johnny about that, too, how he felt pretty frustrated with the ending to Karikano because it kind of just ends. Mm-hmm. And so I had to have this conversation with him where it's like, well, yeah, maybe it doesn't really have much of an ending, but like, remember what this show like gave to you up to this point. I feel like an ending can be so pulverizing to people because like everything that you experienced up to that point kind of like completely falls apart if the ending doesn't completely stick the landing for you and like wrap the whole story like in a bow. If it leaves any like loose ends, then that's considered to be like a big flaw.
Yeah.
Which I don't really, I mean, I understand the frustration, especially when you're like a bit newer to anime. I definitely had the same frustration being like a huge fan of like Soul Eater and wanting more of that. And can say that about a bunch of other different shows. But at this point, I'm glad to have what I had of Mahoromatic, for example, going back to that, because it was something like really special to me, like going back to it and opening myself up to all of these different theories that I was crafting, watching the show, trying to get like a deeper meaning out of it. Like there's so much you can extract out of a story that like, you know, the ending is not the be all end all of your full enjoyment.
This is weird. Like it happened to me with Alien 9, because I watched Alien 9 and I really liked the OVA and I was like, damn, this is really good. And I really wanted to know what happened next because it ends on a cliffhanger. And I go read the manga and I didn't like the rest of the manga. But that never really like impacted my enjoyment of the series. Like the 4-episode OVA is still good. Like I still enjoyed it. But it's just the manga after that just was not very good. And I think that's fine. Like, I think that's the anime should in a way act as like advertising for the manga. Like it should kind of want you to be curious about the source material.
Yeah.
And get you curious to go check it out. Like Alien 9 did that. Granted, I would like full adaptations. I would like the anime to be complete on its own, does it necessarily have to be? Like, I don't necessarily think so. I would definitely prefer it. I don't think it's like game over if you never complete it or whatever. But like,
well, I mean, even then, you can argue that even something that would be considered incomplete, like it doesn't finish the manga, like an anime is still complete on its own. Yeah, there are some that end with a cliffhanger that, you know, never really continued. But I feel like in most cases, if the studio knows that there's going to be no more, then they will like account for that in the adaptation and make it so the adaptation, while not, you know, fully complete, like still ends on a note where like you kind of get everything that you wanted out of it. I remember with Kamisama Kiss, they specifically hired a guy to like go through the manga and make it so the anime ends on a point that ends it with a climax, but still kind of leaves it open to like a second season. And that's what happened. And so the anime ends with like an original ending that still feels very in theme and everything with Kamisama Kiss, but it's not, you know, the manga.
Right. I don't know, like, is there are some things, I think, like Yokohama Shopping Trip, I think the anime adaptation is good, but I think the manga is so much better. It could be that way with Steel Ball Run too. Like,
we shall see.
Before watching it, at least, I can't foresee it being better than the manga. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. I doubt it, but like, should that get people interested in reading the manga and maybe they'll go read it and it's better? Sure. That's how ideally it should be. Like, I don't know. It's interesting to see with like One Piece, I guess, because it feels like a lot of people just go and watch One Piece. Like, I ran into this with my brother, because he's like, he went and watched Naruto. And I was like, why are you watching Naruto? And he's like, well, you know, I wanted to watch, experience one of the, like, the big three or whatever, and I don't want to watch the other two, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, well, why don't you just read it then? And he's like, well, because I want to watch the anime. I don't want to read the manga. And it's just, I don't know, it's just like a weird relationship people have with manga. Like you said, like, it's just, they view it as an incomplete sort of medium. But like, I don't know, with One Piece, like a big strength of One Piece to me is the, like the paneling and how Oda kind of does panels and fills them with characters and background information. His kind of sense of flow with the panels. And you're not, I mean, you can adapt that into like Sakuga stuff. Like, that kind of has its own appeal with the anime, but I think they're separate appeals. I don't think the One Piece anime is the complete version of One Piece, right? Like, they're separate. I mean, that's why you're getting the One Piece. Like, there are different appeals that can be drawn of the same material. It just depends on who is adapting it and like what they're kind of focusing on. And Endless Eight was a good example of that. Like, each person had their own different take on how they approached that specific story. Like, some people focused on fucking birds. Some people focused on specific camera angles or whatever. Like, there are just different ways that you can focus on and kind of have different appeals to the same material.
I feel like that's the most underrated aspect of just an anime adaptation in general, is the fact that it is cinema. So, like, I've been reading Azumanga Daioh before going to bed for the past few days, and sometimes Azuma will write these like bonus chapters where it's like more, I don't want to say properly paneled, but like most of Azumanga Daioh is just like 8 panels on a page that follow like a little gag and it's fine, but then these like special chapters, it really makes everything stand out a lot more because you have a lot more backgrounds, you have more attention to detail like in the paneling, and like reading that, it makes me, it's the kind of feeling that I get from reading manga in general to watching anime. Like, paneling and everything like that, I think, is cool. It's definitely a skill that like inspires me in editing, for example, but I don't really, it doesn't really speak to me all that much. But then, like, watching an anime, because everything has to be take place in, like, a fully 3D environment and everything like that, that makes it a lot more engaging to me, because I'm thinking about, like, how the people doing, like, the location scouting, like, what kind of environments they were looking for, what kind of angles they were wanting for, like, reference material and everything like that. Like, it's just a lot more engaging for me in general. But it's also a completely separate appeal from reading manga, because, like, a flow of manga is completely different from an adaptation. And for a lot of people, that's, like, the appeal of manga. It's one of those, like, very inherent things that, you know, some people prefer, some people don't. And you can just obviously read manga a lot faster than you can watch an anime. And spending a little bit more time in a more fully fleshed out environment is not something that I necessarily see as a flaw. It's something that I prefer in general. But people mostly, I think of, like, purely the audio perspective and, like, sakuga and color, obviously. They don't think of it as, like, it can be like a movie and not like an AMV.
Yeah. Well, I think for me, I agree with you. Like, I do appreciate and kind of gravitate more toward anime, potentially just because, like, I vibe more with the cinematic aspect of anime versus manga. I really do appreciate, like, detailed artwork in manga and, like, different art styles, stuff like that.
Yeah,
which I think it is
funny too, because, like, I don't actually, like, really give a shit about animation. I mean, it's cool, but like, just purely, like, environmental pieces is what I tend to gravitate towards the most. And with manga, like, so often, like, it's small panels that don't even, like, have a background. Like, it's just like, its function is to push the story forward.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's, like, what they need to do, just like with limited animation, how you need to do that in order to, like, stay on a schedule.
But, like, even then, like, there are manga that I can kind of recognize are better than, like, preferable experiences, I should say, to, like, their source material, like, their adaptations, I should say. Like, Hoseki no Kuni, I really love the anime. Like, I really love the CGI, even though I'm not a big fan of CGI generally. But, like, the art of the manga is so, was a such different appeal. Like, this kind of stark usage of color, almost like fucking Kubo or whatever, like the fucking stark blacks and then just the whites.
Yeah, yeah.
Hues of color. It's fucking black and white, idiot.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. like, you don't have, like, the kind of, like, shading gradients, which I like shading gradients too, like, with the added detail. But, like, the way they're using it in Hoseki no Kuni is just so stark, and the, like, soft line work and stuff like that. That's something that they kind of captured with, like, the original little, like, short OVA thing to promote the manga. But the anime, like, just didn't even try to capture that, which I think is fine. Like, I don't think if you can't, or if that's not what you want to do, like, I think they do have a different appeal, and it kind of justifies being just consuming both, right? Like, you can watch the TV series, enjoy it for what it is, and then also read the manga and enjoy it for a different reason. Like, they are two separate mediums and two different products. They might be adapting the same kind of material, but at the end of the day, they are different things. Like,
that's why I see all of this as just, like, an anime can be a companion piece to the manga. Like, it doesn't have to be a successor 100% of the time, or anything like that. Like, I'm reading Azumanga Daioh, and I remember a lot of the scenes in the anime, and, like, they're largely, like, pretty much exactly the same. Just reading a manga, like, the timing of the joke, I think, is the jokes are a little, like, better, because it just has that flow to it, that manga flow. That manga flow. I don't know. Like, I see them as pretty equal. It's an adaptation that captures the spirit of the original work, and it's solid work to begin with.
I think ultimately, for me, like, what I appreciate about anime is it is, like, a kind of coordinated, cooperative project. where it is so many different people kind of contributing into this one creative vision. And so you have kind of this heading in a way, and the director is like, okay, we're going in this direction. This is what we kind of generally want to be. But it does ultimately kind of have all these different voices kind of contributing their perspective in whatever way, even if it's being kind of reined back in certain ways. Like if, like you ever see like the production stuff on like Ava, where like, was it Iso? Miso Iso was like fucking talking about how they need to do all these different things, is like faxing all these different ideas he has.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, what, bro, okay, we what, just guys, want you. All right, guys, hear me out. Okay, I don't know why my voice from Miso Iso is he's like a becoming fucking New Yorker. But yeah, guys, all right, hear me out. Okay, I got this great fucking idea. What if we turn Kaoru into a fucking cat? They're like,
Hideaki Anno is like, Iso, please. Iso, please.
You're not even part of the core staff.
The eighth fax you've sent me today. Please.
Isn't that why Gordo just like randomly kills? I think that's why Gordo just randomly kills a cat in the manga. Is that was kind of fucking character designer's name? What's his name? Fucking the guy.
Yeah. Yoshiyuki Sadamoto.
It just kind of seems like he heard that idea and was like, "That is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life."
You think he's going to fucking turn Kaoru into
a cat, and then a human-sized Ava Yuna is going to be fucking chasing him around Tokyo 3. It'll be hilarious. What? It'll be the funniest fucking shit. Trust me, all right? If we can get Kaoru Cat to work, all right? He's the key to all this, all right? He's a funnier cat than we've ever had before.
All right, George. I mean, he's George not wrong. I mean, you can't say he's wrong, but
it's a good bit.
Really, it's a good bit. It'd be really stupid, but it'd be really a good bit.
I mean, Evangelion is kind of silly. He like that.
Wasn't Anno a fan of VTubers? Remember when this episode was about VTubers?
Oh, was this episode about VTubers? I'm glad I steered it away from VTubers immediately.
It's because you fucking hate VTubers.
Do you want to go back to talking about bodybuilding instead?
What is there even to talk? What are we going to talk about VTubers exactly?
I was making a point. Okay, I was transitioning that into making a broader point about
good fucking segue to begin with. If it wasn't for you just fucking muting yourself and fucking leaving in the middle of us having a conversation,
what's the fucking what the fuck are we? Why are we going back? This is all your fault. You have derailed this whole conversation. I don't know why.
But I was going to make a point about like people it's kind of related to like people really liking or really getting behind AI translations because they're like these localizers. They're disrespecting the source material. They're making too many changes. I'm going to use AI instead. And I wonder, I feel like we kind of already are at this point where people are like, these animators, they're not handling the source material correctly. I don't know why I'm just defaulting to this fucking accent. Here, let me, how do I fucking
Tony, Tony, the animators.
Well, yeah. Now let me tell you about how these animators here are not doing a very good job.
Oh, now they're Fargo. The
I got to differentiate these characters somehow. So I'm going to do my Fargo voice for these guys. Okay, for these fellas. So you know
I like the image that they were going to like threaten to bust their kneecaps if they didn't fucking animate.
I'm like mixing them up now. God damn it. Fine, we'll stay with the fucking New York. I'm gonna fucking break the fucking kneecaps because they're not adapting the fucking like goddamn manga correctly, panel for panel. All right, fuck it. We're just gonna get AI to do it anyway. It'll make it in a way that I fucking want it.
This is the weirdest scout impression I've ever heard.
I was gonna joke, being like, oh, we're fast approaching this point. We're already at this point. We were already seeing this with One Punch Man season 3. And I feel like it's only going to become more of a phenomenon going forward. If we have people getting upset that like panty shots were not even removed from JJK, but just the director's just like, let's not put any panty shots in. If people are getting upset at that, and being like, this guy shouldn't even be allowed to direct, even though he's a pretty damn good director across all of his works that I've seen. I've been a fan of his for a number of years. If we're saying like, oh, this guy, yeah, we got to get these guys out of the industry. And it's like, this guy is like an industry veteran. So it seems more like your views are the ones that are not aligning with the industry. And I think what we're just going to start seeing is people are just going to be like, the anime industry has gone woke. So we're going to use AI to make our own anime adaptations. We're going to make them not woke.
Also, that's what I'm getting at with like the fucking mythologization of like these industry people.
Yeah.
Like they kind of view and collapse these people as having like these certain ideas. It's like, oh, Anno hates otaku and was really criticizing them because he thought the industry was going in a bad direction. And you go and read like interviews and that, I mean, yeah, he was critiquing people that went like too far.
Yeah.
But like he himself identifies as an otaku. He likes the things that he's saying people use as escapism. He is not against escapism. In fact, there is like a explicit interview where he says like it is okay to run away, just like don't do it to excess. Like that's that's a normal message. Like that, it's not just like all escapism is bad, you should never avert your eyes from reality. But like people have mythologized these people to a point where they just are like, oh, all anime fans used to be this and now it's turning into this. It's just it goes back to what I was saying, that we just live in these bifurcated realities where people will just, this is what life is like. That's what frustrates me the most out of like YouTube content, is like people will just spout their fucking bullshit of like whatever they think reality is, whether or not it lines up with like documented reality. It's like, oh, I'm going to fucking talk about Evangelion. Before Evangelion, all anime on TV was for children. And you're like, Chibi, please read a book.
I have to chime in real quick. I find it incredibly funny how like Chibi was talking about being a part of anime history. Like he got Evangelion, that Evangelion short, like out there, like it's viewable now for all fans. He's talking about that and, you know, that old video goes.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
That's what I'm saying. Like this guy who doesn't know fucking anything about anything and is like seen as an authority because he wants panty shots in like every single show or
like that kind of goes to that like whole
he's not seen as an authority because of that. He's just seen as an authority because he's been around for a while. Yeah. Talk about the.
Because, like, that fucking Nicholas Light guy, too. He's seen 80 anime. 80 of them.
Okay.
80 anime.
That's pretty small. It's pretty small.
It's fucking nothing. He was tweeting about, like guys, I've seen 80 anime, and, like, I don't know if anything's going to be as good as Attack on Titan. Like motherfucker. Like, these are the fucking people
that you uphold. I can see why he dresses as a clown in his videos.
And he's a fucking, like, failed porn star or whatever.
I mean, you have to realize that that's why these people are popular, is because they represent more of the majority. Like, they're not presenting conflicting worldviews. Like, it's easy to just expout whatever fucking horseshit you came up with while watching your 17th anime. And you just like incorporate that into your worldview. It's harder to then try to challenge other people's worldviews and be like, hey, this, you know, shitting on isekai is fucking lame because isekai is like the most distilled representation of otaku lineage that is left in anime or whatever. That's not cool because isekai is like shitty and ruined what anime used to be, which was sci-fi, cool mecha robots, like 30 years ago, whatever the fuck. So it's just like, if you're just appealing to people's worldview that just don't have that much experience, like that is why you are popular. I think that's just why these people are popular. Like, again, people, I think we talked about this at one point, people latch on to people like Chibi, people like Aspen Gold or whatever, because they need some sort of mouthpiece, and these people kind of like reflect something that they generally agree with. And they're just kind of using them in turn to then like go after these people, because they feel, as an individual, these people feel powerless, but they are able to use these figures as like mouthpieces to try and rally people toward their cause, because they have more.
I have to ask, is this like a newer phenomenon? Because like, I haven't been around every single like corner of YouTube or whatever, for example, but like, I remember like YouTubers being more of like at least attempting to have an authority, or like they attempt to display like some sort of talent or skill that like sets them apart from the masses, at least like the popular and like more better, not like, you know, Let's Players or whatever, which I guess that would be like the equivalent, but like, you know, reviewers, at least I feel like, at least try to like put themselves like above a notch.
I think this is something that has always been there, but it has been exacerbated as it's kind of expanded, I guess.
Because at least with Let's Plays, it's like, oh, you're watching some, like the appeal of a Let's Play is, you know, oh, my favorite game is Earthbound. I want to see someone play Earthbound. Or like reactors in general, like that's the appeal of that. You get to experience, or you get to see someone else experience a thing that you like, or you want to see like their sort of casual opinion on something, which is fine. Like that's all good and all, but I feel like, well, that's so become the only like mode of like consumption now. Like no one wants to like.
It's sort of similar with how anime. It's sort of similar with how the anime fandom has kind of progressed. Anime otaku media sort of stuff had, like with Eva, you started seeing the shift where it was more toward like characters, character goods, this sort of like moe appeal sort of stuff, where it's like, I like these characters, I want to get more of their story. They start separating them from, which was, you know, it was present with like Gundam and stuff like that. But obviously it became more prevalent with like Eva, with Rei and Asuka and the Waifu Wars or whatever. And then as we've kind of seen, like that has sort of progressed where, you know, 10, 15 years ago, it kind of turned more into, the appeal was more like gachas and stuff, but they would still make like Love Live anime and stuff like that. And now I think it's progressed where now it's, the appeal is, you're almost engaging with the characters completely divorced from any sort of like story, or you know, it's just collecting the character PNGs or whatever.
Someone should talk about, someone should write a book about that. That's crazy. Yeah,
let's write a book about that.
Let's write a book. That's an interest. That's a novel idea that you've got there.
Novel idea. Yeah. I'm just building on. All right, I'm on the shoulders of.
Look, I've seen 80 anime. I've been picking up on some things. I'm developing my theories. Like
I've been reading. Well,
you can
recently
enjoy. Like a character, like outside of the media, like I like the Blue Archive like characters, mix. But I've never played Blue Archive.
Yeah,
a media mix. But what?
But it's kind of similar in that way with like YouTube and stuff, where there was definitely these elements that were still present. Like obviously with like reviews, like you had fucking like Arcada and all them. It's different when they're doing it because they're just, this is like, oh, this is my opinion. This is the review. They would say shit that like was mistaken. But at the end of the day, it's, people would take it as an authority, but they weren't like, the way it was presented was different because this was in the context of a review. But then like you even look at like Trixie's old stuff, right? Like Trixie wasn't like, she did research sometimes, but like she didn't necessarily know it. Like you could see it from like her recent shit. Like she just kind of makes shit up. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Based on vibes.
Based on vibes. You correct her with like, hey, historically, this is this. And the timeline wise, this doesn't line up. And it's just like, listen, all right, I'm not going to fucking do you make your own video. But like, that was always there. Like, yeah, people maybe put the effort more into trying to make it seem like they knew what they were talking about. But there was always this undercurrent of like people just wanted to say whatever. I mean, that's why she kind of shifted her content from like doing more of the essay stuff and talking, trying to educate people about Akiyuki Shimbo's work or Hideaki Anno directing or whatever, to kind of her After Dark shit where she just ranted and rambled about whatever. Because that's not what she wants. That's not what people want to do. They don't want to fucking do the research and fucking start talking. They just want to ramble. Whatever. That's what we are doing, right? Like, yeah. Nobody wants to fucking put all the effort
motherfucker
into shit.
I keep trying to get you to work on your goddamn fucking videos.
I'm just saying, no one wants to pull back to work, bitch. Nobody wants to pull this effort into
asshole
shit and then fucker. Not get any fucking views and then just be able to spout off and say whatever and just say something that people are like, wow, I agree with that, even though it doesn't make any fucking logical sense. It conflicts with history, and get more views. Like, why would you put the effort to be right when you could just be popular? You mold the cult personality. So, like, yeah, this is different because it is these people that have like kind of built these platforms on just spouting whatever. Like, they're basically derivative of what would you call that whole like Tim Pool, whatever those like news people that just read an article and just kind of like spout shit or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're kind of like building on that, and they're just kind of like doing these op-eds, I guess you could say, call them or whatever. But I don't know, it's rough. It's bleak.
I wanted to say earlier, like, I really, and this sucks to say, because like I try being ahead of the curve with like YouTube and stuff. I try to be down with whatever's going on. Haven't always enjoyed the popular thing, but I feel like more often than not, I can find at least some sort of enjoyment or appreciation in the sort of like popular spheres of YouTube. But like this fucking day and age of like being a shitty like news person, but just like spouting a bunch of uneducated opinions on a bunch of bullshit you don't actually care about, and just being like a vibes person who talks about nothing but vibes and never has a point to anything. I fucking hate it. I hate YouTube so fucking much now. Like, I mean, it's so bleak. I try to look for videos. I scroll on my feed for like several minutes, sometimes even like looking up stuff that I'm currently interested in, and there's just nothing to watch. There's nothing. And it makes me so sad because I love YouTube so much and I love YouTube culture, but like it's so frustrating. I love Zara Larsson. I've been really enjoying following like her journey on TikTok, because like to me she represents someone who just like says shit and like stands for it. Like, she made an abortion joke where someone went to one of her shows and was like, I didn't know I was pregnant, but at least my baby got to hear Midnight Sun before I aborted it. And Zara Larsson commented, like, I killed the performance, and then you killed it after the performance purr. And I'm like, yes, queen, thank you. Someone who fucking dares to be, like, bold about something and, like, tries to make light of issues that should be made light of. Like, actually using your platform to fucking say something. I miss it. I miss it so much.
I
miss it
that,
when YouTubers used to stand for this.
On the topic of AI, I just remember that this exists, this Twitter page, and I don't know if we're going to see AI being used in the anime industry itself. I think what we're going to get for a quote unquote AI anime is going to be stuff like this, where it doesn't even really appeal to anime fans. It appeals to people who don't give a shit about anime and are really art in general and just kind of want to have stuff regurgitated back at them, which is what AI is very, very good. Like the whole ChatGPT speak thing is basically just constantly placating the user and trying to, like, you know, accommodate them and being very polite and stuff. Even if, like, they're saying thing that, you know, it's like insane shit.
I mean, it's all just instant gratification.
Yeah, yeah. It's all just going to be, it's all going to be slop like this, basically, where it's just political, like, American politics bullshit, AI generated, and it looks like shit. And yeah, it's like, you know, and these get a lot of views, mind you. It's not like this is like an insignificant thing, but it's not appealing to people who have any interest in anime. It's appealing to people who, like, you know, have like certain kinds of politics, and, you know, that's why they're watching this. It's not because it's anime. It's because it's affirming their political beliefs.
And they remember watching Ghost in the Shell standalone complex on Toonami 37 years ago.
Oh yeah, it's so fucking
37 million years ago.
I think that's generally kind of my problem with this conversation. Is it kind of comes from a reactionary standpoint and less some of like a principled sort of rationale standpoint.
Yeah,
like people aren't arguing something, like they are arguing a position consistently, like, this is where I'm coming from, this is how it should be applied. It's kind of like, I disagree with you, so I'm going to take the position in opposition of your point.
Yeah, it's owning the libs contrarianism shit. Yeah,
basically. Like, it's just, it just seems like it shifts, right? Because, like, that's the whole thing. It's not like, because people will virtue signal about, like, oh, we need to let creators create and not be censored and blah, 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 blah. And then, like, a creator in the space is doing something they want to do. And then it's like, well, we just need to replace them with AI. And it's like, why?
Yeah,
why? I mean, this is literally what you were advocating for. Like, just because they are now advocating for, like, this is one director.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, we're gonna, this one director's gonna fucking taint the whole industry because, well, it's just one director now, but it's gonna be 1,000 directors later. It's just like, okay.
The anime industry's going woke, well, or just, whatever.
Anime industry's going woke, and it's just, that's just where we're gonna be at. And did we have an episode where we talked about where we saw AI was gonna be or going? Because, like, I feel like we are just, like, reaching that point, like that kind of, like, future that we talked about, where it's like, we're not quite there yet. We're not at the point where people are just uploading full adaptations of Yokohama Shopping Log that they created with ChatGPT or whatever the fuck, in the art style of, like, the whatever the original OVA was. Not quite at that point, but we are, like, clearly on that trajectory at this point where people are like, oh, fucking One Punch Man Season 3 was so bad, I'm gonna fucking, as soon as I can, I'm gonna get Starlight, whatever the fuck that, what is that one recent one, Starlight 2.0 or whatever the fuck it is. I'm gonna get this fucking AI to generate a better version of Season 3 that we deserve. Like, I feel like we are just, whenever technology catches up, that's just gonna be where we're at. And that's probably not a lot of fucking hot take by any means. That probably just seems very blatant at this point.
But yeah, and the thing about that is that AI cannot create original experiences because it's built upon things that are already existing. And so what happens is, with your example, it's just like, I want a better adaptation of anime that I didn't like. And so you're just making a thing that already exists. It's the kind of thing where, like, you cannot, like, progress forward. And even if you try to make, like, an original IP using generative AI, like, from what I've seen and read recently, AI is not going to fall under, like, you can't copyright generative AI stuff that you made.
It's like a Naruto the Monkey kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Naruto the Monkey?
I don't. I just said mm-hmm in agreement to, like, make it shut the fuck up.
You've almost certainly seen this image before. This image?
Oh.
So this image was taken, this is a selfie taken by a monkey that is technically not protected under copyright because this image was not taken by a person. So it is, like, there's no copyright on it. So it's that's basically the logic behind like AI stuff and copyright.
Interesting.
Yeah. Funny photo.
This monkey has a lot more soul.
Does have a lot more soul.
Cool.
It's got sobble.
Sobble. Yeah, so I don't think AI anime is going to be much of a concern for people like us who watch anime. It's going to be something that dominates conversations and spaces among people who don't watch anime.
I mean, it already is.
It already is.
People are already fucking posting their stupid, like, ice anime or whatever, and they're like, I would watch this. It's literally, like, why don't you watch real anime that already exists?
No. They'll, you know. Much like the VTuber fans before them, they'll do anything to not watch anime.
They will literally do anything to not watch anime.
Literally anything.
It's amazing how many anime fans there are that just don't watch anime.
They just don't watch anime. Jesus Christ.
You might be thinking, these weeb crew fellas are hypocrites, all right? They said I can engage with media however I chose. I don't even need to watch the anime to be a fan. And to that I say, you are correct.
You are correct.
But I also have the right to fucking shit on you and laugh at you for doing so.
I'm not going to say you're an anime fan if you're not watching it. You can be a fan of, like, you know, you can be a fan of Fate without watching any of the anime. Because there's a lot more to Fate than just the anime.
That is the media mix, yeah.
Yeah, that is the media mix. But I don't think you can be a fan of, like, visual novels and then say you're an anime fan. That makes no fucking sense. Likewise, I don't think you can consider this AI-generated shit, this fucking slop, to be anime either. It's not anime. It's simple as. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're gonna fucking talk about, American cartoons, not anime, then it's gonna fucking apply here.
But I don't watch cartoons because it's too fucking political now. I like anime because it's not political, and that's why I want to watch AI anime.
ISIS beheading videos. You mean...
Listen, the thing...
You mean ISIS beheading videos? No, I want to watch ice beheading video. I want to watch ice beheading.
The thing that, like, has me... I don't want to say concerned, but, like, I'm curious to see how it pans out is because I look at how VTubers were...
Mm-hmm.
I like how they were generally received back in 2016 or whatever, Kizuna Ai or whatever.
Yeah.
Where people were just like, this is... I feel like the general sentiment at the time was like, this is basically just like e-girl shit. You just now put an anime avatar.
Yeah.
The way that that has become sort of associated with like the core of anime fandom.
Yeah.
In 10 years removed from that introduction.
Where it's like, now you are a fake fan if you don't like VTubers. Even if you watch anime, you watch a lot of anime. If you don't like VTubers, you're not a real fan. It's like, that's... VTubers aren't even anime. What the fuck are you talking about?
It reminds me of that fucking dude that called you a tourist because, like, you pointed out the emojis and they're fucking...
Oh, yeah, yeah. So yeah, I'm not a fucking VTuber fan.
We watch anime. We don't fucking watch VTubers.
I don't watch streamers in general. I like the fucking Shondo clips that I see of like her screaming and stuff, and that's basically it.
Yeah. But like seeing how that has become incorporated into the identity 10 years removed from its introduction, I don't know how it's going to be in the anime fandom in 2036 if we're not all dead.
Hopefully
we all just die before this happens.
We haven't died in the mountains of Iran during World War III.
Well, that'd be y'all. I'm too old.
I'm out of the draft age now too, okay? Even though I think they just raised the draft age, scum fucks.
Oh, they'll just keep raising the draft age.
Let's keep raising the draft age. What, you think you're not going to get fucking like the draft raise?
Listen, when they get to my age for the draft... We're already fucked. We're all already dead.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. I mean, at the worst case scenario, you could reasonably pass as trans.